This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number three of VSiN Prime Time. That's Will Hill. I'm Tim Murray. Keep you updated on Major League Baseball tonight, as well as all of the moves in the NBA. Our NFL betting guide comes out tomorrow as well, so become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Get your hands on that bad boy. We've got a football special going on right now over at VSiN.com. $175 to get everything we have to offer all the way through the Super Bowl. That's our NFL betting guide, our college football betting guide. That'll include, Will Hill, NBA, NHL, college basketball as well. So it's not just football you get with the football special. You get everything we have to offer all the way through the Super Bowl. So that comes out tomorrow. We'll keep circling back to that. We do have some baseball going on, obviously, across all of the realms here. And a couple games still to come here tonight. So let's hit on those as we've got San Francisco at the Arizona Diamondbacks. We were anticipating a pretty good pitching night. Zach Wheeler did not disappoint as he went 8 scoreless with 10 strikeouts as the Phillies lead 4-0 in the top of the ninth inning against the San Diego Padres. Unfortunately, it was not as beautiful as expected at Fenway Park, as right now that game 9-5 with Garrett Crochet getting the best of Chase Burns, who didn't get out of the first inning. Garrett Crochet did get his strikeout prop, though. It comes home as the Red Sox lead 9-5 once again, that one in the sixth inning. But Logan Webb has been tremendous this year for the San Francisco Giants, and he's a road favorite tonight against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Will, around a minus 145 favorite are the San Francisco Giants. Total sits at 8.5. Juice minus 120 to the under.
This looks a little cheap on San Francisco. I like the Giants. Webb is just a much better pitcher than Nelson. I understand that. You know, the Giants lineup leaves a lot to be desired. There's just not a lot around Devers. They have not swung the bats well recently, but probably prefer, you know, I would say prefer first five because you just rather isolate the handicap with the starting pitchers. But the Diamondbacks bullpen is such a mess. Another blown save, another blown lead yesterday against the Marlins. They have not played well. They have not pitched well recently. So looks a little cheap on San Francisco. I do like the Giants, and because of the Diamondbacks' ongoing bullpen issues, full game probably a better way to go about it in case, you know what, you're down a runner too late. You're not out of it with this horrendous Diamondbacks bullpen. As a Nationals fan, you know all about bad bullpens and how you can feel good for 4 innings, 6 innings, 8 innings, and that thing can go off the rails at any given moment.
What was it? I think it was last Sunday they were playing the Dodgers, and I want to say they were up 2-0, and I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, the Nats are going to win a series against the Dodgers, and then the bullpen gave up like 9 runs because that's what they do. But Kyle Finnegan, baby, 3 scoreless yesterday, Mr. Will Hill, as the Nats got a win on the road in Anaheim. I want to stick with this because we mentioned Zach Wheeler and what we saw tonight. 8 scoreless innings, just an absolute gem from Zach Wheeler against the Philadelphia Phillies. Logan Webb, by the way, has the 3rd shortest odds to win the NL Cy Young at 12-1. I hate being prisoner of the moment, but could you be talked into a Zach Wheeler ticket to win NL Cy Young, or would you want a bit of a better price?
I mean, I don't think it's a bad bet. I would want a bit of a better price, and there's just, you know, it's a weird reason not to bet it. It takes so long to get paid out on these. They don't announce them until Thanksgiving, so I'm going to sit here end of June. I'm going to bet something at like 3-1, a little bit north of that. And even if I win, we're talking about Thanksgiving where I get paid. I mean, that's money I could have been using betting on other stuff. So I think he's very live to win it. I think he's an outstanding pitcher. He's got a very good shot. I don't know that there's like a ton of value in plus 350 just because you're tying up your money and it's so far away. But I do think that's a decent bet. But it's just the time element of just really handicapping your resources and tying up your resources, I think, is enough to keep me off of that. Does that make sense?
No, it's funny that you say that. By the way, it's gone final. Philly does beat the Padres 4-0. So the gem from Zach Wheeler leads to a shutout victory. He goes 8 strong tonight. But it is funny that you mentioned it because last year, you know, sitting next to JVT, my stubbornness came out because he had this amazing ticket on Skeens to win NL Rookie of the Year. I think he got it at 30, maybe even better than that. And, you know, he makes his debut. I think the number, like it did with Chase Burns, went way down, maybe like 8-1 or something like that. And then he makes another great start. And I just kept waiting and saying, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And ultimately, Will, I laid $1.60 with Paul Skeens to win NL Rookie of the Year. And then it almost felt like immediately after that is when Jackson Merrill came onto the, you know, onto the scene and was just phenomenal for the San Diego Padres. So the number got up to like as high as 5-1 out there on Paul Skeens at some point. Skeens ends up winning it. But to your point, I was like, when the hell are they going to announce this thing? I mean, there is no league that is dumber when it comes to awards than Major League Baseball. The season ends in the middle of football season, and they're like, no, no, let's wait and spend 2 full weeks giving out our awards. It makes no sense.
No, it's crazy. It's really just, if you're on the fence of betting some of this stuff, it's enough at least for me to like, man, it's going to take so long for this thing to be announced. Because like you said, the season ends of September. You got an entire postseason that takes up October, and then you still wait another 2+ weeks, almost 3 weeks after that, to get these awards. And that's even if you win. So it's definitely something to consider when you're betting this stuff.
All right, I want to circle back a little bit here to the NBA and the moves that we've seen so far across the NBA. The Atlanta Hawks have made another interesting move here tonight. They have added Luke Kennard. So the sharpshooter is headed to the Atlanta Hawks. So once again, nothing too earth-shattering. They're still 16-1 to win the Eastern Conference at DraftKings, but the evening
that before or after the Luke Kennard move, they're 16-1.
I thought it went down to 12-1, but it looks like it's back to 16-1 right now for the Atlanta Hawks to win the Eastern Conference. So far this offseason, they've added Kristaps Porzingis, they added Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They would not be 16-1. Nikhil Walker-Alexander, also Canadian. So, you know, I guess I'll take myself a little bit off the hook comparing him to the league MVP. And they also just added Luke Kennard. And when you think about if you were like buying stock on a team with that second, with that unprotected pick next year that they acquired in the draft, Atlanta really has had a nice offseason so far. So big pickup here for the Hawks from a standpoint, nice role player, but a pretty good night so far for the Atlanta Hawks with the moves that they've made.
Enough for you to do what? Are you interested in betting them to win the East? Like, what is their win total open up?
Honestly,
the win total's 41, 42. They're over 500, something like that. I'm trying to think. You know, probably in that range. I don't know. Does that entice you if it's in that range of in terms of a win total, which probably won't be up here for another week or so?
You know, I do wonder, they have some to qualify for the conference finals. Hawks are 5-1. So could you?
It's an interesting market. I've never seen that market before. Who has that?
DraftKings does. Yeah. So
it's a good one.
Yeah. I think that's pretty cool. So to make the conference finals in the Eastern Conference, Cavs are even money, Knicks are +130. Magic +235, Celtics +250. That seems short. 76ers +425, Hawks at 5-1. Hawks,
that's terrible.
I could be talked into Hawks making the Eastern Conference Finals. Hell, they made it in 2021. So, and this team is better than the 2021 squad, right? So, that could be an interesting.
What's Philly?
Philly is +425.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, not terrible.
You're loving you some Philly this year, aren't you?
I'm just curious. I know all of the dangers of it.
I bet it too.
East, I see their talent. Yeah.
You and Jeff Sherman convinced me of it, so I'm going down. I'm going down with the ship here.
What did you take to win the East at like 12-1?
So here's interesting. 12-1 to win the East.
Not bad.
So here's interesting. So I'm looking at it right now. DraftKings right now in this moment, I clicked it. I can't bet it here, but sometimes if the odds have shifted, let me know. I'm seeing a $7 difference between the Atlanta Hawks to win the East at DraftKings and FanDuel. FanDuel is 9-1, Will Hill. DraftKings is 16-1 for the Atlanta Hawks to win the Eastern Conference. Once again, not saying it's going to happen, but man, that is a Massive difference.
That's a big difference.
That is a massive difference in the futures market.
Especially in a major market, you might see that in something that's just like a niche award or like a guy that's 7th, 8th down the line where he's like 40-1 at one book and like 30-1 at one book. But an NBA team to win a conference, that's usually something when you look at the two major books, they're going to be within $2 or $3 of each other. To be that far apart is certainly something that's unusual.
Yeah, that is.
Chop around.
That's pretty odd. That's pretty odd. Shams Charania said that Trae Young reached out to Kennard and Nickeil Alexander-Walker this evening to help recruit them to the franchise. So Luke Kennard and Nickeil Alexander-Walker. The big move so far tonight, Cam Johnson headed to Denver in exchange for Michael Porter Jr. and a first-round pick, an unprotected 2032 first-round pick. So I would say that was the biggest move so far of the evening. Hey, folks, just a reminder, as we are in the midst of summer, Circa has got a great deal going on right now called the All-In Summer Package. You've heard us talk about it, and we're going to keep talking about it because it's such a great deal. $400, and you got a two-night stay at Circa, $100 dining credit, $100 beverage credit, and your very own daybed at Stadium Swim. It's all for $400, resort fees and taxes included. This limited time offer is now through September 4th. So don't miss out. Lock in your all-in summer package today at CircaLasVegas.com. The Miami Dolphins and the Pittsburgh Steelers, Will Hill, made a big trade today. We'll discuss that and what it means for those two franchises with our good friend David Bearman, who joins us next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Busy night. We've got plenty of NBA free agency to hit on. No major moves, but some decent moves out there. We've seen a little bit of movement in the market. We'll recap what has happened so far a little bit later on here in the evening. Got plenty of baseball going on. Our VSiN primetime game of the night. We did not expect this many runs, Will Hill, in Boston. 9-5 is the score. Bottom of the 7th inning. Red Sox with the lead. And the Toronto Blue Jays have taken the lead against the New York Yankees. 4 runs in the bottom of the 6th inning. Vlad Guerrero Jr., an RBI 2-run single, I should say, in the 6th. So the Blue Jays have taken a 5-3 lead over the Yankees north of the border. We got a couple of games still to come tonight. We mentioned San Francisco and Arizona, Kansas City and Seattle. We'll hit on those coming up bottom of the hour. But let's head back to our progressive guest line and let's bring on another gentleman who is sitting there in the lovely state of Connecticut. We've got Will in Connecticut, and now we've got our good friend David Bearman there in Connecticut. And make sure to check out Mr. Bearman's website, BearmanBets.com. And you are a Dolphins fan, and we saw a big move today. Before we get to the implications for the Pittsburgh Steelers, what do you make of the move to bring Minka Fitzpatrick to Miami?
I think they did okay with this trade. Listen, Tim, at the end of the day, this isn't going to move the needle. This does not make the Miami Dolphins a better team. But what it does is it really cleans them up a little bit. They had two players that didn't want to be there. We had Jalen Ramsey was begging for a trade. Chris Greer said they were going to trade him weeks ago. It finally got done. And you had Jonnu Smith wanted a long-term extension that the Dolphins just weren't going to do. So it was two players that you knew weren't going to be a part of the Miami Dolphins future. And you got an all-pro back in Minka Fitzpatrick, who was a former Dolphin before, and you got, you know, an upgrade in draft picks. Are they better today than they were yesterday? No, because they lost two of their top 10 players, and they got a guy back who's coming off his worst career as a pro. That doesn't mean he can't go back to the all-pro that he was, but the Dolphins did what they needed to do in terms of clean up some of the culture problems they had. They got some money off the books, so they're going to have some money to spend next year, should there be a next year for Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel. But at the end of the day, if you're a Dolphins fan, you just lost a tight end that was the basically the key to the offense last year, as pathetic as that sounds when you have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle on your team. And you lost Jalen Ramsey, who you had just given an extension to last year. So I don't think it really changes anything when it comes to their win total, which is 7.5, or them making the playoffs or winning the Super Bowl. None of that's going to change. But they did clean up a couple of pieces they needed to clean, and maybe they go and trade for a tight end and get one of the tight ends. Obviously, you have room in Las Vegas now that Brock Bowers is there with Mayer, and Kyle Pitts has been rumored to be on the move. But I wouldn't give up much, because this offense should not run through the tight end. You got $65 million in receivers and Waddle and Hill. You got the $255 million quarterback. The tight end is fine, but that's not Mike McDaniel's offense. It became Mike McDaniel's offense because they couldn't get the ball to their all-pro receivers. So I'm more concerned about corner. Yes, you got Minka at your safety, which is fine. But, Tim, it's like you and me lining up at cornerback. And if you're going to put your division and your championship hopes on Storm Duck, great player, not exactly what's going to lead the Dolphins to the promised land.
David, where are you big picture with the Dolphins? Been almost two decades since a playoff victory. This is year six of Tua. They haven't won a playoff victory, you know, under him, obviously. They had the great year 2 years ago where they put up the video game offensive numbers, but fizzled out in Kansas City, fizzled out down the stretch. Just feels like they're stuck in between. Not quite a contender, not quite good enough or bad enough to bottom out here. How would you play them in terms of that? Where are you here? Just big picture here with Miami.
I mean, I think you just hit it on the head. They're not good enough to contend, and they're not bad enough to do a reset. This is going to be year seven of the reset that started back in 2016-19 when they traded Minka to begin with, and all these other players eventually got Tua in 2020. What they needed to do was go further in 2023. You talked about the video game offense. They had a chance at the one seed in Baltimore in week 16, got blown out by the Ravens, went home and lost on Sunday Night Football to the Bills, and then petered out in Kansas City. And it's been all downhill since then. That was the year to get it done. You had the Monday Night Football loss to the Titans where you blew a 2-touchdown lead late in the fourth quarter. That was their chance. Where I look at the Dolphins, I think they missed their window. The window is done. This looks like a soft reset, but a soft reset does not work in the National Football League. It might work in other sports. In baseball, the trade deadline, you give away a few pitchers for some prospects and you're back next year. In football, you can't just do a soft reset in Miami because they've been doing it for 25 years. And I think they're going to be a below 500 team. The 7.5 is probably about where it belongs. I think they can get off to a decent start on the schedule, playing only one returning playoff team in those first five games, it being the Bills, which they always lose to. End of the schedule gets a little bit tougher. They have a couple of schedule situations where you're playing tough teams off of short weeks, and the Ravens and the Bengals, a team that'll probably get off to a decent start, will keep their coach around a little bit. And really what I'm looking at is when they go to Spain and face the Commanders in week 11 after playing the Bills, entering their bye, I think if they lose the Ravens, Bills, and Commanders as you're in Spain, that's when you might see a regime change. That's when you're like, all right, you know, when teams go overseas and they're on a losing streak, coach may not make it back. That is probably the part of the schedule that's most important to Miami Dolphins. I have them projected at right around 8 wins. So I think the 7.5 is accurate. I've seen a lot of 8.5s out there. So depending on your number, it's not a team that's going to win the division, even though they had it in their grasp with a 3-game lead with 5 to play against the Bills 2 years ago. Last year, they didn't compete for the division. It's the Bills again. Could they get a wild card? If Tua stays healthy and McDaniels figures out how to reinvent the offense, there's a chance. Maybe a wild card, but that is really about the ceiling for the Dolphins. And really all you could hope for is to sneak in and get that first playoff win in 25 years. I don't see it. My projection is they're going to be a middle-of-the-road team that probably changes everything when they get back from Spain in the middle of October.
At Behrman Betts is where you can find his BehrmanBetts.com, I beg your pardon, is the website. David Behrman joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. So on the flip side, Jalen Ramsey, he heads to Pittsburgh along with Jonnu Smith. We know about Aaron Rodgers, obviously, being up there in Pittsburgh. You got a win total of 8.5 and a schedule that if you don't get off to a good start is as brutal as it comes. I believe after week 5 or 6, it is the most challenging schedule in the NFL. So another big move here for the Pittsburgh Steelers, David. What do you make of this squad heading into 2025?
If I'm a Steelers guy and I'm looking at this, I'm probably not going to sleep at night thinking, well, I really hope I get Aaron Rodgers 4 years removed from his last good season, and then I go raid the Miami Dolphins for parts. That's probably not the goal that I want to achieve. Are the Steelers better than they were a month ago before these moves? Sure. Would I move the line? Would I move the points, the future to win the Super Bowl? No, they went from 35-1 to 35-1, and they didn't move after Rodgers either. I think they're a middle-of-the-road team that is all going to depend on that start. The only reason they made the playoffs last year was because of their start. They didn't belong in the playoffs, and they got sent out right off the bat. They're going to need to get to a hot start again because, like you said, the end of that schedule is very, very difficult. Every year we say, is this the year that the over 500 streak for Mike Tomlin ends? I really believe that this is the year because I don't think they've really upgraded. If you're putting your hopes on a guy whose last good season was 4 years ago, maybe Aaron Rodgers does reinvent himself and becomes Aaron Rodgers of old, but this isn't a 1 or 2 year thing. It's been multiple years where Rodgers either hasn't played or hasn't been good. And I don't think he just flips the switch. He had everything he wanted in New York. He got every receiver he wanted. He got the coach he wanted, and it still didn't work out for him. So I don't see Pittsburgh being any different. I think they're a good team, not a great team, and they're in a very difficult division. You got the Ravens who could win the Super Bowl. You got the Bengals who are a Super Bowl team. The Browns aren't good, but they're not as bad as the odds show. They do have talent there. I think the Steelers are just like the Dolphins, 7-8 win team when all is said and done.
Last minute or so, your Gators cut down the nets in basketball. I thought overachieved last year in football, played pretty well at certain times against a really tough schedule. What are you looking for here coming up in 2025 for the football team?
I think the football team will be good. I think last year they did overachieve a little bit. Obviously, the wins against Ole Miss and LSU were season-defining wins that saved Billy's job and brought a lot of hope back for this year. DJ Lagway is going to be a Heisman Trophy contender. But as always, they got the gauntlet. They got a tough schedule, a brutal schedule. They play the Hurricanes early. They got the SEC schedule coming up. It's a very, very tough schedule, but they have the talent to get it done. I'm still not sold on Billy Napier. I'm very, very happy for what he did last year at the end of the year to keep his job. And if you had told me they were going to win 8 games last year, I would have laughed you out of the building. So did well, but you're also looking at a schedule that had LSU, Miami, Texas, Texas A&M, Georgia, Ole Miss, Tennessee. Not easy. If they win 8-9 games again, I think it's good and maybe good enough to sneak in at 10 wins and get to a playoff. Probably on that line where maybe they contend for a spot, maybe they don't. It's not a national title winning team, and I think you give the coach one more year and see what happens.
He's David Bearman. You can follow him on Twitter at David, B-E-A-R-M-A-N, betting with Bearman. Make sure to check out the website, BearmanBets.com. David, always appreciate it, man.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for dialing me up, and yeah, maybe the Dolphins will do something.
Thanks, David.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Primetime here on this Monday evening. Got a question for you, Will Hill. Yeah. So I am flying tonight. I am taking a red eye. You living on the East Coast, have you ever flown a red eye?
Yes.
Are you pro or anti red eye?
I wouldn't say I'm pro. They're fine. It's fine. It is what it is. I wouldn't say pro.
I wouldn't say I love them, but man, they are efficient. I'll say that. I always feel like you travel to the East Coast. You've got kids. I've got one. You lose the whole day, but my son, I can never do a red eye with. I don't mind doing them. Like when I went to Notre Dame, Penn State for the semifinals earlier this year, I flew a red eye after the show, went to the game, flew back early that morning, and it was, you know, quick and out, in and out. Probably not great for my body that I didn't sleep at all, but, you know. But the question I have for you is, I'm on a flight tonight. I'm going to the East Coast, and I'm checking into my flight right now, and they just asked if I would like to upgrade to first class for $129. Should I do it, Will Hill?
Probably. granted we didn't hit the first 500 Reds Red Sox, so it's not like we're dealing from a position of strength here, but yeah, $129. I've never flown first class, so I don't know what I'm missing, I guess, but I would probably, for $129, I mean, it's gotta be worth it. No,
I kind of think so. I'm trying to do it right now on the fly here, but we'll see. I'm trying to make this happen.
He was posted.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to do it. 120. Yeah, it would have been not lots nicer if Chase Burns didn't get chased in the first inning. Would have been making a little bit. Would have been an easy just take that money.
Yeah.
Boom. There we go. We're paying for the first class. So as I'm trying to upgrade on my phone, I'll take a little break from that as it's frustrating me. How about this Yankees game? 5-4, top of the eighth inning, one out in the top of the eighth. The Yankees just went yard to make it a 5-4 game. So this is a game coming down the wire. What do you think the live line is right now? First and second, one out. Yankees plus 143. Would you be interested in the Yankees?
Oh, I was just going to guess. I thought you were going to let me guess. I was going to guess plus 150 or so. I would have looked so smart. Yeah, I don't know. That's about right. It's about right. I don't have anything one way or another, but that's about what I'd expect. If the Yankees tie it, they're going to still have a rally going, and they were the favorite to begin with for whatever that's worth. If they don't get out of it, they're obviously in big trouble and down to their final three outs. So this is properly priced. I don't have it. I see Rice is up, right? So there are what point in the order that matters here in this terms of this live betting number two. Okay. Not ideal. Not ideal. You obviously got Judge out of the way and you're working towards the lesser part of the lineup. So what's the number on Toronto? 175 or so?
It's moving now. So the live line probably a little bit ahead of where we're at. So I wonder if Rice is going to get out here because it's now Toronto plus, minus 244, and the Yankees are at plus 182. Now, something's about to happen, so we will see. I don't know if this is going to be good or bad for the Yankees here. Nope, actually nothing is going to happen. Sometimes when the board goes gray, you're like, ooh. But I think Rice is going to get out here. So it's going to be two outs, men on first and second. And now the Yankees, as it is it was a good shot from Rice, but not deep enough. So now the Yankees, men on first and second, two outs, plus 272. But it is Volpe coming up in the seven hole.
Plus 272 would be intriguing for me, like a fraction of a unit. And that was a good shot by Rice. Nice running catch by the center fielder. He hit the ball well, but not well enough here. So I don't know, plus 272 might be enough to get me to put a small bet on it. Nothing crazy, but Volpe... Hope he's able to come through here with a base hit and either tie it or he hits a gapper and you take a lead. Obviously, you got a good bet. So not the greatest guy you want up in terms of this situation. And Judge rounding the bases on that Rice hit, really thought that ball had a chance to get over the center fielder's head. I don't know. Is that enough for you, a plus 272, to take a shot here?
By the way, Chris Macero, friend of the show, friend of the network, just texted me and goes, 100% get the first-class ticket. He goes, the only problem is once you get it, you'll never, ever want to fly the other way. I mean, I've been fortunate. I have not flown first class very often. I flew a red eye in February, Will. I flew Spirit, and they have those big seats. And that was actually worth the money to fly to New Jersey. Volpe gives it a bit of a drive, but ultimately it is caught by the center fielder, so the Yankees do not get another run. We've got a situation brewing, not a situation, just kind of an interesting situation in Texas, where I believe their catcher got hurt. I think Chadwick Tromp got hurt, so they had to bring in Gary Sanchez. So they do not have the DH tonight, and Trevor Rogers had to have a bat. So he struck out.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, so Trevor Rogers had to have an at-bat tonight. By the way, I think Trevor Rogers might petition the Major League Baseball, Will, just to exclusively pitch against the Texas Rangers because he's thrown four scoreless innings tonight.
What's he have for a strikeout number? Because I mentioned last week, I've always liked this stuff. I think once you've shown you can do it at the age like Rogers did when he's young, a young pitcher and just making his way in the league and provided an all-star season, that's in there somewhere now. Whether it comes out again, who knows? He's dealing with injuries. He's poor performance, but he seems to be back on track here, at least over the last few starts. I know that was a trade that Orioles fans did not like last summer, where they gave up some of their prospects that they really coveted. And Rogers was not pitching well. They traded for him. He didn't pitch well. Then he got hurt. But Rodgers is a guy with potential. Once you've done it before, you can certainly do it again. He's old enough, or at the age, I should say, where he's got the potential still within his ability.
He's at 4 strikeouts so far here this evening. So, that is where he sits right now. But his last 12 innings of baseball have been against the Texas Rangers, and he has thrown 12 scoreless frames.
Pretty good.
Yeah, not too shabby. The Red Sox have loaded the bases in the bottom of the 8th inning. The Red Sox have come to hit tonight, man. Who, buddy? And I think we have a grand slam. Yep, we do. Abreu, who hit the inside the Parker,
wow,
just hit a grand slam in the bottom of the 8th inning. The Red Sox now lead 13-5. This was supposed to be the pitching matchup of the night, and our game of the night has turned into an absolute slugfest. As how about the Red Sox tonight? We get a inside the Parker from Willie Abreu, and then he hits a grand slam in the 8th inning. 13-5 now. The Red Sox lead the Reds at Fenway Park.
I would love to see the list of how many guys have hit a grand slam and an inside the Parker in a home game, a grand slammer and an inside the park homer in the same game. It can't be that many, and you can't include both of them as being the same one. That's got to be a very short list, wouldn't you think? 10, maybe 20 guys in the history of baseball. Yeah, I'm just guessing there, making up a number. But to hit a grand slammer and an inside the Parker in the same game, that is, it's got to be rarefied air.
Yeah. Inside the Parker. We need Sarah Langs to get out, and I'm sure she's going to tweet here soon. She'll let us know. When was the last time we had someone hit an inside the park home run and a grand slam in the same game? Because that is that's quite the night there for Mr. Abreu. So there we go. 13-5 is the score between the Red Sox and the Reds. You know, the Reds have been pesky. I'll tell you what, man. The NL Central is going to be pretty fun. I mean, I think the AL East is going to be fascinating, too, when you look at Yankees, Rays, and Blue Jays. Blue Jays win this game. They'll only be 2 back of the Yankees here, Will, if they win here tonight. Tampa Bay is tied up with the A's at 4 apiece. So there's a possibility, if tonight plays out the way that it could, you might be looking at 3 teams within 2 games of first place in the AL East. And then you look at the NL Central, you've got the Cubs in the lead, the Brewers, as we talked about earlier in the show, they've been playing much better baseball, Cardinals 2.5 back, and then the Reds, who are going to drop a little bit back tonight, but the Reds have been playing very well as of late, and, you know, maybe Chase Burns can bounce back after his putrid performance here tonight.
Yeah, I saw a tweet earlier that I forget who tweeted out, but it was pretty interesting. And I think there's some truth to it. The NL Central turned out to be what we all thought the NL West was going to be. We all thought the NL West was going to be this gauntlet of a division, and it's looking like, all right, the Padres, not as great as we thought. The Giants are coming back to earth. The Diamondbacks have their issues. The Dodgers are the Dodgers. But the NL Central is pretty deep, is pretty good. I still don't buy the Cardinals, but you got 4 pretty good teams. Even the Pirates have played pretty well recently. So a lot more talent in the Central than a lot of people have expected.
Yeah. Hey, folks, just a reminder, ProfitX is offering the best odds all baseball season long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, the first of its kind in the U.S. You'll be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against sportsbooks. Exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today with the code VSIN, V-S-I-N, and earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
9th inning in Toronto. It is 5-4. Blue Jays with the lead. 1 out. DJ LeMahieu coming to the plate here for the New York Yankees. And then it will be Trent Grisham. So Aaron Judge, a handful of batters away. So right now, as we look at the live betting market for the Yankees, out to plus 870, make it plus 1040. So it doesn't seem like DJ LeMahieu going to get a hit in this at bat as he steps to the dish in the top of the ninth inning. Will Hill.
Yeah, I think it was LeMahieu, Ascara, and Dominguez due up. Not exactly, not exactly Ruth, Mantle, and Maris due up here for the Yankees. The bottom of the order has some holes. They could certainly use another bat. And I don't know if enough has been made of, and I can't kill him for it because Gleyber Torres wore it as welcome with the Yankees. Bad defense, bad base running, but it's interesting. They have a black hole at second base. And meanwhile, Torres is having a monster season for the team that has the best record in the American League and the Tigers. So Yankees could certainly use a bat or two here coming up at the deadline.
By the way, a bunch of people have chimed in. So a quick update on the upgrade, the seat upgrade. I went to go purchase the ticket, and I think the deal was so good that I imagine someone else checking in thought the same thing. So a bit of a bad beat there. I was too slow to get it to get the upgrade. But thank you for chiming in. Bosch on Twitter, 100% upgrade for $129. That's not even a thought. Brian Young says, you have to take that deal. It's a steal. You get a meal, unlimited drinks that can help you sleep on the red eye. Well, thank you. I would have got it. I was ready to do it. And something was being a little wacky with my app, so it did not get through. Now I'm debating whether to upgrade to the exit row. So now I got a lot on my mind here, Will, about this flight. It does look like I have the seat empty next to me, so I don't know. Maybe I'll just keep what I got. We'll see. Got a long time. You know what I also sometimes do is I'll kind of mosey my way up to the front and just kind of stand there. And every once in a while, I would say the shooting percentage is like 10 to 15%, but every once in a while, the person sitting there on the computer will look up and they'll see how tall I am and they'll ask me what seat I'm in. And then I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm in this one. And then they'll just be nice and give me an exit row. It's happened before. So sometimes you just kind of play dumb, look up, you know, hey, how much does it cost to get to the exit row here? So we'll see if I can, pull that off tonight. For the flight back east, so we'll see. But unfortunately,
what are your eating and drinking habits on a flight?
For tonight, it'll probably be so. I do have kind of a cheat code. So, have you ever heard of the Centurion Lounge?
I've heard of it, but I'm not familiar with it.
So if you have an American Express, you can get into said lounge. It's not in every airport. There's like, I don't know, 20 of them. Well, if you are able to enter said lounge, you got free drinks and free food. So I usually head in there, especially for red eyes, get a couple glasses of cab, get a good meal in me, get nice and tired, and then just zonk out. So I'm going to try my best to get a good night's sleep here on the flight. But eating and drinking habits, I normally will. I just kind of do water. Depending if I'm not feeling great, maybe do like some sort of ginger ale. But usually it's just water, and I will eat the what's the gingerbready cinnamon cookie? Oh, those are biscotti. Oh yeah, that's where it's at.
All right. It's tough because, like you said, you're taller, so sleeping on a flight, I mean, you got to be pretty crammed in there.
It's not awesome. It's not awesome.
It's not awesome.
Yeah, it is not not ideal. But, I don't mind it. I'll survive. You know,
It makes you appreciate, once you can be back in your own bed, just the things you take for granted. What's saying you don't know what you got until it's gone. The things you take for granted you don't realize day to day. Until you're stuck on like trying to sleep on a plane and you're uncomfortable, like, man, what I would give to be in my bed right now. Those are things you don't appreciate until you're in different situations.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. All right, Will, we've been updating folks on the evening across the NBA as free agency has started. I think things have slowed down a little bit, but let's run through what we've seen so far here tonight and just the latest signings. Jordan Clarkson, he was agreed to a buyout with the Utah Jazz, and he is expected to sign with the Knicks after he clears waivers. The Bucks have agreed to a deal to keep Taurean Prince in town. Is that what's going to keep Giannis happy, Will?
I was going to say, if you need some help sleeping, maybe you go through some of these free agent deals, and these will put you to bed. My goodness, Jordan Clarkson, Taurean Prince. This is a rough one. This is not a not exactly the Kawhi Leonard watch of, a number of years back or some of these other summers where you've had these landscaping altering moves here. Jordan Clarkson going to the Knicks and Taurean Prince and some of these other guys, Luke Kennard going to the Hawks. Not exactly earth shattering moves here.
No, definitely not. Once again, the big move, I guess, if you want to call it that, Cam Johnson on the way to Denver in exchange for Michael Porter Jr. and a first-round pick. It's gone final north of the border, and the Toronto Blue Jays get the win. The final score, 9-5. The total in this one, Will Hill, was 8.5. So back-to-back overs for the Yankees after 16 straight unders as this one has gone final in Toronto. The Blue Jays come back to win 5-4, and if the Rays beat the A's, we would have three teams within two games of first place in the AL East.
Pretty incredible stuff. Looked like a couple weeks ago, the Yankees, really the Mets too, if you want to include both New York teams, Yankees were in good shape here to maybe pull away. They had a 5-6 game lead that nobody looked like they were good enough to compete with the Yankees. Figure they can get that up to 7-8 plus and be gone at some point. But now even if they're going to win the division, which I still think they're going to, not going to be easy. They're going to have to fight for it. They're going to have to work for it. Tampa and the A's, as you mentioned, that was 4-0 A's early on. Tampa tied it. That game has been 4-4 for a long time. The A's looking to break through here. I believe it's first and third, one out in the ninth for the A's here. And this is a battle of teams that play in minor league ballparks. This one is at Steinbrenner Field in Tampa, as it looks like the A's are going to take a lead. Boy, ball into the gap, and that is going to clear the bases, I would think. That's going to be, a triple here for the A's. So A's with breaking the tie here with a big base hit. Not sure who got it. Might have been Clark here, but the A's go in front.
So the A's, as you mentioned, look like they'll take the lead and potentially win against the Tampa Bay Rays. The A's went off as around a plus 160 dog or so tonight. We're underway in Seattle, Kansas City, and the Seattle Mariners. This game went off Mariners around a minus -150 total at 7. So with Kirby and Waka on the hill, that was, as I look at the board here tonight, that's the lowest total of the night, 7. And we actually saw under money come in as this thing opened at 7.5 and closed at 7. So the lowest total of the night, that game underway, two outs in the bottom of the first inning with Michael Waka facing Cal Raleigh. And Cal Raleigh hits one in the air. Not deep enough. Center field scoreless after one inning. I believe Cal Raleigh is going to be in the home run derby, which is a positive to hear.
That can't be too far away, right? Because tomorrow, July 1st, so what are we, probably 2 weeks? 2 weeks from today? Because I don't think it's next week, but probably 2 weeks from today, we'll be looking at the home run derby, the All-Star game, and that is sort of the dog days of summer. But I actually like the All-Star game. That's the one All-Star game where all the players care. They all try. I think they're back to wearing their own uniforms this year, which will be fun. Yeah. And I was able to cash a nice MVP ticket last year on Durant. So I think like 50-1. So hopefully I can find a little magic here on the All-Star Game MVP. I think that's a fun market to bet. So I think we're getting near here to the All-Star Game.
Maybe we'll hit on this at the top of the hour. It's been a busy day for the Pittsburgh Steelers, as we discussed the move earlier today for them to acquire Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith. Did you see that Adam Schefter reported that there are now multiple teams have discussed whether they can trade for TJ Watt? So he did not show up at the most recent minicamp, and boy, that would be a big shift if T.J. Watt is not a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and what that can mean for someone if they went out and acquired T.J. Watt, who has seemed displeased so far by what's been going on there in Pittsburgh.
I don't have my finger on the pulse of that situation. Does that seem like it's possible, likely, or is that something where it's being thrown out there, but probably not likely to happen?
I think it would be more unlikely to happen. It doesn't feel like the Steelers are really in on the possibility of trading TJ Watt. Speaking of the NFL, guess what, folks? If you're serious about winning this football season, the VSiN NFL betting guide comes out tomorrow. It's packed with in-depth previews of all 32 teams, season win totals, best bets from trusted VSiN experts, player props, betting projections. Kick off your season with confidence. Get full access to every VSiN betting guide, daily best bets, and exclusive content through the Super Bowl for just $175. VSiN.com/subscribe.